Hello there and welcome to another TVOX podcast. I'm Jenny Kirk.
And I'm Zoe Robinson.
And we're going to be talking here today about preparations for transition. Kind of, well, what to expect, what you need to do, and really just dispelling some of the fears that I know a lot of people have. I know in my own particular instance, the build-up to transition was rather over several years, and I was quite frightened of the prospect. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what I had to do and what the reactions were going to be. And it did put it off a little bit. And then when I finally did it, I found that it was no big deal.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far myself. Transition is a big deal. Let's not downplay the fact that it is a life-changing experience.
Well, that's not entirely what I meant. What I meant was that compared with what I was expecting, a lot of things that I thought were going to cause a lot of problems that were going to be really difficult just weren't.
Well, there's always going to be, because it's effectively a huge unknown. It's a massive step. You're going to have all kinds of pent-up worries about it. But preparation, correct preparation, will dispel all of that. And if you've got everything worked out, then it's a very smooth process.
Yeah, and I think, I know in our case, one of the best things to do is actually set yourself a date and find a way of sticking to it. With you, Zoe, it was you announced to the manager where you work that, yeah, I'm going to transition on this date. And it sort of forced the hand for you, which I think for a lot of people, having that firm date there does help. It gives you a point to aim for, and it kind of helps to encourage you to go through with what you know that you want to do.
Well, yes, as with everything, if you just say, right, I'm going to transition, I'm not sure when, I'm going to start planning it, and then when I feel ready, then I'll do it. That's setting yourself up for defeat straight away.
Yeah.
You're setting yourself no clear victory condition.
Definitely.
You're giving yourself no actual plan. And effectively, you're giving yourself a very good opt-out for when you inevitably decide, actually, I'm not ready.
You're
never going to be ready unless you say, right, this is it. On day X, that's it.
Yeah, you force your own hand, and it stops the... it's very easy to put things off.
It is. Procrastination is the killer of everything, and unfortunately you can procrastinate again in transition as well.
Yeah, but anyway, let's deal with preparations. Both of us, it's a good few years ago now, we've both been through this process. We've had the build-up and then the transition process. What preparations would you say are good preparations for people to make?
Okay, the first thing that you have to do is set yourself a plan of, I'm going to change my name, do it legally. In order to give, there have been a lot of problems at the moment with banks deciding that they're going to discriminate against trans people by saying, oh, we'll change your name since you've got that a deed for that, but we won't change your title.
Mm.
Kill that straight off. When you're changing name, change the title as well, because that way it gives the bank no excuse to mess you around. And if they do mess you around, it gives you a very clear case when you inevitably sue them or go to the papers.
Yeah, at the end of the day, and this goes with a great many things. I've heard in the NHS as well, problems arising. Your title is what you choose it to be.
Yes.
Not what somebody else chooses it to be. So it's you who has the say over what your title is.
Yes, English law is very clear on titles. You can use whatever title you want, providing it does not suggest that you have qualifications or status that you do not have. You can't call yourself Lord or Lady or Doctor or Reverend or anything like that. But you can be Mr., Mrs., Ms., Miss, whatever you want, regardless of what gender you decide you want to be.
Yeah. The NHS, banks, other organisations have no say in that.
No, they cannot dictate to you. And if they do attempt to dictate, especially with the NHS, because the NHS has a statutory duty to uphold the Human Rights Act, which one of the things is respect for personal life.
Mm.
For private life, even. So them saying, oh no, it's our policy that your title must match the gender on your documentation. Well, actually what they're saying there is, we're not going to help you with your real life test, which requires you to be identified and recognised in the gender you're transitioning to. Well, they're preventing you from enjoying your right to respect for private life.
Right, yeah, but let's move on a bit.
So
here.
Yeah, well, the first thing you've got to do, you've got to plan that you're going to get your name changed. So get your name and title changed at the same time on the same deport. It doesn't cost anything extra. Then you've got to get your documentation changed with the bank, with the NHS, with your tax records.
Yeah, also
and all of that.
Your employer as well, because
employer as well. Yes,
they all kind of go hand in hand because it's assumed you're going to be being paid, so that money's going to be paid into your account, and it's a very good way of officially marking the beginning of transition.
Exactly.
For certain things, like for example, a gender recognition certificate, you need to be able to, in effect, prove the date that you transitioned. One of the easiest ways of doing that is the date on your name change documentation, when your bank records were changed. And I hasten to add here, we've sort of preached a little bit of doom and gloom over title changes, but I didn't have a problem, you didn't have a problem, and
no.
the vast majority of people, you won't have a problem.
Yes,
so
it pays to be prepared so that if a bank or anyone tries to give you trouble, you've got the response there. I'm not trying to suggest that it's all doom and gloom, but you do need to be prepared.
Yeah, very much so. And there's some details as well I'd like to point out here on the TVOX wiki about what you need to do for name changing. And because
it's also a checklist of people you need to inform as well.
Definitely, yeah. And as I was saying, also counts true for things that are details of how to change your name if you're resident in countries other than the UK. So there is quite a good deal of internationally helpful information on there. But then there's other things as well. I know one of the biggest surprises, for want of a better word for me, was you think, oh, I've got plenty of clothes in my new gender role. I'm going to be fine. And you can never have too many clothes.
Yes, clothes is something that I found particularly tricky. I had enough clothes to last me a fortnight of different outfits at work, so that was fine. But I'd forgotten about the idea of, what am I going to do when I'm not at work?
Yeah.
So you've got to make sure you've got enough to keep you going in both work and recreation.
Yeah, and the other thing is, it's very easy to go... I think one of the biggest pitfalls is going too formal. Look at other people around you, what they're wearing. Just people in the street, other people at work. And one of the big pitfalls for trans people is we overdress, especially at the beginning, because we're finding our feet. We've had none of this period through our early teens and childhood where we found our own fashion and our own way and got comfortable with how we present ourselves. So we're left in at the deep end, where overnight you're expected to
know all the rules of society. And the new gender role.
And I think, don't get put off. Everybody does make fashion faux pas at the beginning of transition. I suppose it's part of the rite of passage. So don't feel despondent if you think, my God, what on earth was I wearing? Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you'll look back and laugh. And in the first place, just make sure you've got the right stuff. Have a look at what women are wearing or what men are wearing, depending on which role you're transitioning to. Look at what's fashionable and in the shops, and don't feel scared of trying things on in the changing rooms to make sure that what you think will work actually does work for you and your body type.
Yeah, on this point as well, just after I transitioned, I had some difficulties with certain shops trying to exclude me from the changing rooms. And yet, at this point, I was legally living as female. And one of the things I used to do was, because I found sometimes fighting back with a bit of shock is pretty good. I'd look the changing room attendant in the eye and say, "What, do you have a policy saying no ugly women in your changing room?" And I always found that they'd back down very quickly.
Yeah, show some attitude, but self-confidence is key.
Don't threaten anybody.
Yeah, but this is the thing, self-confidence is key. These people are bullies, and they'll immediately back down if it turns out that actually you're not the softy that they can pick on that they thought you were.
Yeah, and the other thing is, what you'll find is that companies, shop chains, things like that, they're their company-wide policy is not to discriminate in that way. And what you'll find is it's normally more of a local thing. You get a local busybody throwing their weight around.
Yes, because the company's policy is always, we want your money.
Yeah, they don't care who you are, they want your money. They will stick a hoover in your pocket and keep sucking until all they get is lint, if they could do that. So if you don't shy away and let them walk all over you, then what you will find is that somebody further up the tree will support you if you call their bluff. And I think in many ways this is the only way that society's attitudes can be changed. I know through the 50s, 60s and 70s, people from African origin, Chinese origin, Indian origin had a lot of problems with racial discrimination, and society's attitudes changed because people challenged that. And society's attitudes towards trans people will only change by those attitudes being challenged in the same way.
We have to show them it's not acceptable, because as long as they feel it is acceptable, they'll do it because it's easy to do and they like it.
Yeah. Okay, now, other things as well.
So let's recap so far. You've got to work out the date that you're going to transition and stick to it. Stick to it rigidly.
And sometimes it's helpful to kind of force your own hand if you are telling the manager at your place of work, so they don't just turn up and go, today I shall be, because
they're more than within their rights to say, actually, we need time to prepare staff, so go away.
Yeah, and it's good manners to give people a bit of time to be able to plan how they're going to deal with that.
Yeah, because it will be a shock. So if you are working, speak to your manager and say, this is what I want to do. Well, we need to work out a plan so that the rest of the staff have a period of adjustment, maybe a week. That's how much I did. I went on holiday for a week and came back in the new gender role while management explained to everyone what was going on.
And that can be quite good as well, having that holiday in between, because that gives you a period of time where you can kind of slip into the new gender role and become more comfortable with living that role 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, before you're suddenly back in your place of work.
So it's not a complete jarring experience with everything changing. They have time to adjust, you have time to adjust. It also gives you time to make sure that you've got everything you need, clothes-wise, documents-wise, or whatever. So we've got the date done, the name change done, made sure your wardrobe's ready. Is there anything else, Jan?
Yeah, I think there's other things, like, for example, simple things that you might not even realise. Haircut. When you transition, get yourself a nice haircut, for the boys.
Shop back and sides is always good.
Don't fall into some of the usual pitfalls where it's like crew cut all over, because unfortunately, especially early on in transition, FTMs, you may find that if you have that extreme crew cut, there is a risk that you'll end up looking very much like Sinead O'Connor. So be careful with your choice of haircuts.
Same with women. Trans women, don't go for the big bouffant perm or anything like that, because a lot of us just don't suit it for a start, and we don't want to end up looking like Margaret Thatcher, do we?
I think actually, whilst I think about it, another important thing is dress to your age group.
Definitely.
I've seen this a lot, whereby especially older trans people, when they transition, they're trying to be hip and with it, hang with the kids sort of thing. But when you're 50 or 60 years old, you can't you stick out a bit like a sore thumb if you're dressing like the teenagers of the day.
It all comes again down to look at what women your age or men your age are wearing and find something in that age range that suits you.
Yeah, very much so.
The last thing we need, especially at the start of transition where you're going to be uncomfortable anyway, or very, very much less self-assured than you will become, is to stand out and have people staring.
Yeah. So you're just blending in, very much so. And if you're it is something that a lot of trans people do kind of lament, how they feel as being the loss of their childhood. But
oh, definitely.
Transition is not a good time to relive your childhood, because your transition will be a lot easier, a lot smoother, and a lot less stressful for yourself if you're looking to blend in until you find your feet, find you know, how you wish to express yourself, how you're comfortable in expressing yourself.
There's time for mixing it up and experimenting once you're comfortable in the role that you're transitioning to.
Mm.
Because self-confidence will help you carry off a lot more of this stuff.
Yeah, and I think above all, we ought to stress, you know, we've gone over the potential pitfalls, and you know, when you're sat there contemplating transition and somebody goes, oh, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and look out for this, it can sound very daunting.
Oh, yeah.
But we want to stress that it isn't. When you actually do go through with it, what I found was that things just kind of, one thing led to another, and I looked back and thought, why didn't I do that sooner?
Oh,
it wasn't as hard as I expected it to be, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, the bark is worse than its bite.
Mm. And I think a lot of people do put it off and put it off because they're frightened of what to expect. And the truth is, when you do finally bite the bullet and transition, it's a lot easier than most people perceive it to be from before they transition.
It's almost like a roller coaster, I suppose. At the start of the roller coaster, it's the big, big climb. It looks really imposing.
Mm.
And then you get to the point where it starts and it just runs and it's over with.
Yeah, it's like one of those lame roller coasters. I won't name drop, but I've been on ones where the big climb up is really scary. And then you go over the top and you're like, is that it?
Yeah.
And sometimes transition does feel like that. It's the big, scary climb up through the clouds. And you're thinking, gosh, this is a bit high. And then you go over the top and it very much does feel like, so that's it. Well, I'd have ridden this ride before if I'd have known.
Exactly. But one thing I would say is, if you are taking the route of doing the holiday before going back to work or whatever, or in fact, transition in general, once you transition and you're living in role, don't fall into the trap of just staying in the house and cowering away.
Yeah.
Because you need to build the self-confidence. And the only way you can do that is to go out into the world and see that actually it's no different. The world hasn't changed. It's no worse than it was before.
Yeah, I think you have to get out there and interact to become confident. I have seen one trap that some people, not everybody, a very small number of people fall into.
Bedsitland?
Yeah, Bedsitland, it tends to get referred to. And it's kind of this idea that, oh, I'll hide away for the 2 years or whatever of my transition, get the surgery, and somehow everything will be okay. But you have to, in the same way that if anybody hid themselves away from the real world, they'd be very nervous and uncomfortable suddenly being thrown in after several years of being a recluse.
It will actually, hiding away will make it worse.
Yeah.
So don't do it.
And
just bite the bullet.
The first few days, few weeks might feel like, actually, maybe I should stay at home. But it isn't as bad as your fears will make it. And if you get out there, you interact with people, go to places, you know, go to cafes, go to the public library, you know, do things, you will become more confident, and confidence comes across in your body language. And part of, you know, this ties in with, we've done a podcast on passing. There's information on the TVOX wiki about passing, but one of the biggest things that will make anybody pass is confidence, because your body language is what gives you away. And if you're happy and comfortable in your gender role, then that comes across, and people don't suddenly get pick up on, oh, there's something not quite right over there. And that's really the essence of what passing is about.
It is, you're right. Confidence, having everything prepared, and then just go for it. Don't back out once the date's looming.
Yeah.
Just go for it, bite the bullet, and go in there head on.
Yeah,
and
very
it'll
much
work.
So.
It might take a few weeks, but after that you'll find, actually, there's nothing to be worried about.
Right, okay. Well, let's bring this to a conclusion then. Let's round up what we've gone through. Preparation is a key. Changing name, bank details. Also, forcing your own hand. Well, that makes it sound really bad, but
it's not so much forcing your hand as set the date, stick to it.
Yeah, you can do this by, you know, in your place of work, informing your manager, setting a timetable, and then working to that timetable, and then also things like choice of wardrobe, haircut, things like that, little things which go towards helping you fit in with the new gender role, making you feel comfortable, confident in yourself, and then finally, you know, getting out, interacting, making sure that you don't let transition become an excuse to hide away, because it shouldn't be that. You know, get out there, interact with the world, and that will bring the confidence that will make transition so much easier. Okay, well, I think we've covered all the bases there, haven't we, Zoe?
We have. Just as a little cliche for the end, remember that it's the first day of the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So make the most of it.
Very much so. I'm Jennifer Kirk, and with me I've got Zoe Robinson.
Certainly have.
And this is the T-Vox Podcasts for www.t-vox.org.